educating the masses with God's Word, Truth, and Facts. Wade Through the Swamp with Rick on For God and Country.
Hey guys, how you doing? It's Rick here. So we're going to go through some more news. Just go through the most recent events. Do a little talk about it. Just a little discussion. If y'all want to hit me up, my email is RICKYLAWSON, my name, Ricky Lawson, 0814 at gmail.com. Thinking about making one specifically for this channel. Just haven't done it yet, so working on it. So you can hit me with any comments or any ideas if you want. If you guys want to hear me talk about something in particular, just let me know. All right. Looks like today, what do we have going on? Can free money make your life worse? I would say it probably does. From this piece in the Washington Journal. Ah, man. Piece by Robert Doar, D-O-A-R, Doar. The left continues to push to do away with accountability in safety net programs. Democrats in Congress recently made an enormous change to public social programs while no one was paying attention without bipartisan support. Excuse me. Next month, the Internal Revenue Service will start sending checks to qualifying families, $300 a month for every child under 6, $250 for everyone over 6. These monthly payments will flow regardless of whether the recipient is working, looking for work, or in training or education programs. In addition, recipients will no longer have to enter a welfare office to ask for help. And I have government workers encouraging them to find a job. Democrats in Washington's claims checks will reduce child poverty, as if the absence of money were the only problem for these families. Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work out. Let's see. Give me money. I wonder if these people accepting all this money, I wonder what's going to happen when they start being told what they can eat, what kind of groceries they can buy for those children, because the government at this point is raising them. Excuse me. Sounds like a very slippery slope right there, guys. That's ridiculous, man. They're trying to put every American citizen and non-citizen on government welfare. They want government health care. They want to just give you a paycheck every week. Paychecks are great. Money's fantastic. Problem is, inflation's going to destroy the economy to the point that all this extra money ain't going to do them no damn good anyway. They ain't going to have nothing they can spend it on. When a loaf of bread becomes $14, gasoline, a gallon of gasoline be $38. Now we got to get this spending under control. Inflation is going to destroy this country. But I think that's their goal. I believe their goal is to create total chaos in the United States. The more chaos they can push, the more chaos they can create, the more violence they're going to have, the more rights they can take away. Then we're straight totalitarian state, guys. I mean, it's just what it is. They want to overthrow our government. The easiest way to overthrow our government is to... if no one has faith in our government anymore, because conservatives like to conserve it the way it is, liberals want to change everything. If nobody has faith, if I don't have faith in my government because anyone on the left are being prosecuted for any of their many crimes that they're doing, they keep us fighting with the liberals. Then the liberals can cry because the government's not doing enough to keep them safe because, oh, wait a minute, they defunded all their police. So then the people that do have guns and are not afraid to use them are going to end up using them. It's unfortunate, but that's why they want to ban them, because they don't want you just going around killing people. Like Biden said a couple of days ago, it would take a nuclear bomb and some F-15s if you want to attack the government and try to overthrow the government. It makes me wonder, though, was the riot on January 6th, was that an insurrection? I mean, the President of the United States just said that the only way that you could overthrow this government is with F-15s and nuclear weapons. Sounds like he argued our own case, helped us win our own case. And secondly, talk like that, people are just going to go out and buy more guns. And you can't argue the Second Amendment any more than that. That right there is the reason why we need the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed. That means you can't infringe on them, Biden. All right, back to the piece. Excuse me. My decade of works in New York services agencies make me skeptical. People weather all kinds of challenges and hardships. Nothing is as simple as it seems. Sending money is sometimes helpful, but rarely addresses underlying issues. Right, because if they're addicted to government subsidies, then I mean, ain't nobody gonna want to work. Nobody's gonna want to do anything. Current federal welfare policy, shaped by bipartisan welfare reform during the Clinton administration, established specific requirements as a condition of benefits precisely because these expectations help find work to people, improve their lives. Many homes plagued by addiction, domestic violence, and unemployment need attention of social worker. Meddling with that connection, imperfect as it may be, has consequences. So, I mean, why are these people don't have money? Is it because they don't have jobs because of COVID? Is it because they're lazy and they don't want to work? Is it because they're sick and they need some kind of help to get to work? I mean, what's the deal? If they're not working, they're not working. We need to figure out why they're not working, not just give them money. Just giving money to random people is not going to help. This no-string-attached cash from Washington, for example, will leave unaddressed the serious problem of substance abuse. By sending checks directly, the Biden administration will sever contact between parents and social work, which helps uncover signs of addiction. That's very true. If they can see you once or twice a month or every few weeks, and they can see what you're doing. They can see if you're using drugs or alcohol or, I mean, it's not really hard to figure that out. That's one of the reasons they want to see you. They want to see if you're abusing the federal benefits that they're giving you. I mean, you can't sit around and get high all day and expect for the government to pay you. That's utter ridiculousness. The government is not going to pay your salary for you to sit on your ass and do nothing and be lazy. Sit around, get high, play with your iPhone 12 or whatever, driving your Lexus, then you're going and you're using food stamps to buy groceries. That's unacceptable. I understand people need help. I understand that kids grow up fast and income don't necessarily stay, you know, right there, but there's no reason for that, man. People need to have, they need to have some self-respect. I was on unemployment twice in my life. I'm 43. First time it was for about 6 weeks, and I found a job. Second time it was right after in 09, I guess, when the unemployment, or the whole economy pretty much tanked. The banks almost went under. And I was out of work for 3 years, and that was terrible. I felt like a bum. I felt like a real piece of shit. I mean, I did odd jobs to help out. I got unemployment the better part of that time, but I would do odd jobs to do it, just get, you know, whatever money I could. I worked for landlords. I would cut grass, whatever it took. But I still worked. I can't believe, for a second, these people just expect to sit around, get paid, and do nothing. I don't see how they can look at themselves in the eyes. It definitely, I don't know, I wouldn't be able to look at my kids if every paycheck I got and every time I bought them groceries, it was dependent on the government. Plus, the Bible says, man, that don't work, don't deserve to eat. I believe in the Bible. I believe it is God's anointed word. I believe if you call it stupid, that's borderline blasphemy. And blasphemy is definitely not something you want to mess with. All right. Let's carry on. All right. From this report in the Daily Wire, LA Mayor says George Soros Foundation expects interest in funding reparations program. Why is George Soros wanting to pay Eric Garcetti's reparations? I guess it's just welfare, so what does it matter? It says government handouts. At the end of the day, that's what they want. They want every human being on some kind of subsidy. Like I said, when the government's paying your bills, they can tell you what you can and can't do. This year has shown us some of the starkest possible terms. While America is a land of opportunity for some, it remains a place of injustice, inequity, and indignity for too many of our black brothers and sisters, by Jay Crawford. Yeah, these people are deranged. Mayor Eric Garcetti told the Los Angeles Times Friday night, George Soros, Open Society Foundations, has expressed interest in financing the local reparations program. The comments came on the same day Garcetti announced the formation of an LA Reparations Advisory Commission to develop what an outlet called a pilot reparations program target a cohort of black Americans. I wonder if Italians will get reparations. I wonder if Irish will get reparations. I wonder if any of the other number of slave groups in this country that have faced ridicule and racism far worse than the blacks ever thought about having. They were treated far worse. Why do they get reparations? And do you have to prove that you were a slave directly? Because, I mean, why should you get reparations just because your great-grandfather was a slave? If that's the case, then how do you know that, you know, your great-grandfather wasn't selling of the slaves? If your great-grandfather owned slaves or sold slaves, does that mean you have to pay the reparations? These are things that we should probably look into. I mean, if you've never owned slaves, and you've never had slaves, you've never been a slave, you've never known a slave, no one in your family has ever been a slave, then what in the hell makes you think you deserve to be paid because someone decades and probably centuries ago, well, obviously centuries ago, as we just found out just recently, celebrating Juneteenth. But, I mean, why do you deserve reparations? Because someone that may or may not have been related to you so distantly you can't even think straight was a slave? Well, I know for a fact I've got family that was run off Indian reservations. Do I deserve reparations? I have family that were Irish slaves. Do I get reparations for that? Can I compound my reparations if reparations is $100 a month per check or check per month? Maybe because my Indian heritage were slaves or they were discriminated against, so I should get a reparations check for that. I should get a reparations check for my uncles that were slaves, Irish slaves, decades ago, a century ago. Should I get, if I have any black in my family, does that mean I automatically am entitled to another check? Heck, I could be getting 5 or 6 or 7 checks. That would be pretty awesome. Anyways, excuse me. Sorry about the coughing. A little busy today, and I got a little bit of asthma going on. You'll have to forgive me. Democrat Mayor Eric Garcetti told Los Angeles Times Friday that George Soros Open Society Foundation had expressed interest in financing reparations program. And why George Soros? Why is this guy shelling out so much money to all these leftist liberal states? And in the conservative states, he's getting district attorneys hired so they can refuse to prosecute crime and then try to take guns from citizens. The comments came on the same day Garcetti announced the formation of the LA Reparations Advisory Commission to help what the outlet called a pilot reparations program targeted at a cohort of black Angelinos. Sounds pretty racist to me, Garcetti. The last time the government decided to try to only give to black people, they got shut down at the Supreme Court. Maybe you should look into that. I think that happened like last week. Supreme Court doesn't think too highly on only giving free money to one particular racial group. In an interview with the New York Times, Garcetti said Soros, international grants making a network of one of many private entities that might be willing to fund such an endeavor. He went on to say he hoped banks and corporations would step up to begin to make some amends and push their movement forward. Make amends for what? What did the banks do? What did the corporations do? Garcetti said providing funding would be a way for to reckon with the complicity we saw in American capitalism, slavery, and post-slavery racism. Give me a break. This fool is ridiculous. The Times said, exactly who would benefit from local reparations program? How many financial compensations would be made to detail this commission? Who would have to decide? Wow, that makes absolutely no sense. Why in the world? Commission members, which are named by Garcetti, and the black city council members, of course, include Michael Lawson, a former ambassador and head of the Los Angeles Urban League, Kasha Jones Muhammad, co-chair of the Los Angeles chapter of the National Assembly of American Slavery Descendants, Mandela Casey, an expert on economic and land use development. Maybe they ought to try to look into the forestry in the great state of California, because those idiots can't seem to be experts in land use at all. Their experts on land use have caused millions of acres of forest fires. Maybe you should help out there instead of worrying about giving people free money. Cheryl Harris, a leading scholar of critical race theory and systematic discrimination at UCLA School of Law. Of course, another racist fool. Dr. Katrina Vanderwoot, president of the Los Angeles Trade Technical College. I got an idea. If you want to help black people so bad, why don't you just give free classes to anybody that wants them? I mean, you seem to think colleges should be forced to write off the payment for their student loans. If that's the case, then why don't you open your colleges up? Why don't you open your technical schools up? I'm not saying just to black people or white people or any other people at all. I'm saying open the damn school up after the classes are over in the evening time, whatever. Give free classes with certificates. There's lots of underprivileged people in your state. Why don't you give some free classes out? Give a few free degrees and certificates. Like we say, make your bed. Chrissy Berman Weaver, President, Chief Executive of the Brotherhood Crusade, and Mark Wilson, Funding Executive, Director for the Coalition of Responsible Community Development. Garcetti said the LA Advisory Commission will not look at all racism, but will look specifically at reparations where laws held black American Angelinos' ability to build wealth. Jesus Christ. So they don't care about any other racism. The only racism they care about is black racism. Oh, that's right, because white racism's okay. Everybody knows that. Garcetti also announced creation of the National Coalition of Mayors and organized reparations for equity. The 11 mayors from the cities include Denver, Austin, Texas, St. Paul, Minnesota, and Sacramento committed to establishing advisory commission in their own cities that would also probe pilot-making programs. Give me a break. This is by far the stupidest thing. Garcetti's announcements came the day after President Joe Biden signed a bill into law establishing June 19th as Juneteenth, National Independence Day. Wait, isn't there already a National Independence Day? I thought there was. I thought that was like for 200 years, commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. And I'm not against them having a holiday. I'm not against celebrating the day racism was completely abolished. But you can't tear down Abraham Lincoln statues and claim he was a racist when the man effectively ended slavery in this country. Everybody heard the Emancipation Proclamation? That came from him. He wrote it. If he wouldn't have written that, we wouldn't have had the Civil War. If we would have never had that, slavery would still be going on today. Nobody would have stopped it. During a virtual press conference on Friday, mayors of the other cities who have committed to lead reparations pilot programs, Garcetti said to address racism in America as America has to address racism. You think? That's kind of like that other moron who has written 8 books on racism, and his definition of racism is racism-like stuff, where it causes racist people to have racist ideas and produce racist things to ensure their racist ideas. Come on. Didn't your teachers ever tell you you don't use the definition of a word in the definition? Or you don't use the word in the definition? It's not that hard to figure out, people. This year has shown us in some of the starkest possible terms that while America is a land of opportunity for some, it remains a place of injustice, inequity, and indignity for too many of our black brothers and sisters. He continued, it remains unequal for the descendants of those who were forced onto slave ships from their lives, uprooted from their loved ones, stripped of their humanity and dignity and their rights, and sold by other black people. There were slaves in every country on earth. Don't you people understand that? There wasn't a country out there that didn't have slaves. Garcetti said the pilot program in cities would be a model for the federal government. Yeah, no. You ain't going to use my federal taxes for that shit. Sorry about your luck. That's why we had a taxation without representation. Wasn't that the Tea Party? Yeah, we're not going to have that. That is not going to happen. We have enough unnecessary taxes that don't do a damn bit of good for us in the first place. Those of us who don't have kids in school paying taxes for school boards for people to teach racism. No. Yeah, not even close, buddy. All right, moving on. You can live anywhere but Colorado. Why many remote job postings are now actively excluding one state. Bureaus huddled in some office somewhere failed to foresee the cost of their actions. Ruh-roh. Hate it when that happens. Let's see. I'm guessing that this is the Foundation for Economic Education. Can't tell who wrote it, though. Looks like it's still in the Wall Street Journal, though. It might be Brad Palumbo. If it's Brad Palumbo, I'm giving you credit. I don't know. Not sure exactly who wrote it. But the pandemic, I call it, has abundantly hastened the shift to remote work. Many workers and companies have now embraced remote work and economy as economy reopens. And previously office-based positions, and this is continuing even as the economy reopens and new jobs are posted. Many new remote positions are being posted, advertising that applicants can live anywhere in the U.S., except Colorado. Here's why. A new Colorado law requires companies with even a few employees in the state to disclose their expected salary or pay range for each role they advertise. Ooh. I think I like that. I think I'm going to call our governor and senators and see what we could do about that. range for each role they advertise, including remote positions. The Wall Street Journal reports the rules aim to narrow gender wage gaps and provide greater pay transparency for employees. I agree with that. Not the gender wage gap. I think that's a freaking joke. Just because you didn't want to go to school, you didn't want to have 40 years experience and be good at your job, then you really can't complain that you make less than a dude. If the dude just started yesterday, that'd be different, but we all know that ain't what happens. Not even close. But I do like that result, or that idea. The result, to avoid having to disclose that information, some employers seeking remote workers nationwide are saying that those who live in Colorado need not apply. That's funny. Many companies want remote workers, except from Colorado. For example, the postings for a Johnson & Johnson's job recently read, work location flexible if approved by the company, except if that position may not be performed remotely from Colorado. Multiple job listings that Cardinal Health, Inc. advertises as a remote work from home position. This role is to be filled outside of the state of Colorado. That's hilarious. I figured it's going to be because people, they know people be sitting around smoking pot all day. You're sitting there trying to work from home and all of a sudden you got your brother walking through in his underwear eating a donut, smoking a bowl. You know, it's legal there. I don't think there's anything wrong with marijuana. It's good for lots of health issues. I don't think it's any worse than alcohol. I think cigarettes are far worse because cigarettes kill you. Marijuana don't. Worst thing you're going to do is maybe zone out at a red light or get to the gas station and forget what you went there for. I don't think there's anything wrong with marijuana. Just be reasonable. You get the idea. A website, ColoradoExcluded.com, catalogs these postings and reports that at least 39 companies are actively discouraging Colorado residents from applying. Why? Well, companies say that Colorado regulations are burdensome and too costly to comply with. And publicly posting all salary information is not only undercuts its employees, but privacy would fuel the disconnect and conflict within the company, given the fact that we have 49 other options. And more if you count Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico, and etc. It's easier for some companies just to not hire people from the state. Yeah, it's a lot easier. But I agree that if everybody knew what the next guy was making, I don't see anything wrong with that. This is certainly not what Colorado state lawmakers had intended. They likely had good intentions of promoting transparency and equity, or equality. That's a good word. I like equality. Equality is where everybody who's qualified, everybody who puts in the effort, has an opportunity to excel. Not equity, where no matter how hard you work, you get the same benefit as everybody else. That's crap. Albeit one's based on a statistically dubious premise of the largely fictional sexist gender pay gap, but as Nobel Prize winning economist Milton Friedman once said, one of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results. Amen, brother. I like that guy. I'm going to read up on him. And the result of this regulatory overreach was to take jobs away from Coloradans, not make them more equitable. Of course, few could have seen this coming when drafting salary transparency regulations. While easy enough to understand in hindsight, it would have taken tremendous foresight to predict that this would specifically lead to remote work positions discriminating against the state. Not discriminating against anything. They have the right to go wherever they want to go, and if they don't want to go to that state, they don't have to. That's like saying you have to go to New York, or you have to go to California, or you have to pay 30% in your state taxes, or you have to... No, they don't have to do anything. I'm sorry, I just completely disagree with that premise. I believe that they should post their pay. If they want to get good people, then they need to pay decent pays. I mean, I agree with that. I don't believe in a $15 minimum wage. I don't believe that everybody's entitled to the same amount, no matter what they're capable of doing. But I believe that if a state wants to hire people in a, or if a company wants to hire people in a specific state, they have that right. I wouldn't run my business out of Illinois. So I can discriminate and not hire anybody from Illinois out as all much as I just please. Of course, but that's exactly the problem with government interfering with a minute economic life. Bureaucrats huddled in some office somewhere can never fully foresee the vast and disparate consequences of their actions, meaning unintended consequences and lividity to follow. Yeah, I kind of disagree with that. I think if you want to someone to work for you, then why wouldn't you want to tell them how much you make? I mean, seriously, if I'm applying for a job, that should be one of the first things. I want to know the salary. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a salary range. You don't have to put Susie Q. That Susie Q makes $13.86 an hour to do whatever job. I just think you could put Susie Q is in the $36,000 to $72,000 price range or income range. You know, if you got income ranges, $15 to $20 or $20 to $25 an hour, and that there's no reason that shouldn't be allowed. All right, new study links. Ivermectin to large reductions in COVID deaths. It's a new drug at the Epic Times. See, I would much rather have medications like this than to have medications that have a vaccine that has all these side effects. Because you have no clue what's going in it. I'm just not a fan of vaccines. I think you... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying vaccines aren't needed. They should. They're definitely needed. But they're needed for infections that we know that we've had for decades and we've had for centuries. We know they work, we know what the side effects are, and there's no excuse. Polio. We know what polio does. We know the polio vaccine works. Of course, they weren't doing a whole lot of all these experiments on people. Well, they were, they just weren't out in the open with it. But it was more like radiation and drug trials. Mind control drugs, Project Paperclip, and then that led to Project, I don't even remember what it's called, conspiracy theory stuff we'll get into later on in the podcast, but we will talk about it. I go through quite a bit of that, so I look into lots of conspiracy theories, because you never know what's true anymore, so. Anyways, is ivermectin to new study links medication to large reductions in COVID deaths. And it could just be that less people, all the people that would have died from it have already gotten and most likely gotten over it. The use of the antiparasitic drug Ivermectin could lead to large reductions in COVID-19 deaths and may have a significant impact on the pandemic globally, according to recent peer review studies. Wow, it's a mouthful. For the study published on June 17th in the American Journal of Therapeutics, a group of scientists reviewed the clinical trial use of ivermectin which is an antiviral and anti-inflammatory properties in 24 randomized controlled trials involving just more than 3,400 participants. The researchers sought to assess the efficiency of ivermectin in reducing infection or mortality in people with COVID-19 or at a high risk of getting it. And thank Mr. Donald Trump for that. He's the one that made it possible for people to take all these experimental drugs if they so chose. Without him, you wouldn't have been able to even use any of this stuff. And then they're going to criticize him for saying a drug worked. It's ridiculous. There could have been millions of more lives saved, I'm sure, if they would have just prescribed the hydroxychloroquine. And when Donald Trump said it worked, that's no reason just to let people die. Let people get sick strictly because you don't like the way a man tweets. It's ridiculous. Using multiple methods of sequential analysis, the researchers concluded that with moderate level of confidence that the drug produced a risk of death in COVID-19 patients by an overall of 62% at a 95% confidence interval, 0.19 to 0.79 in a sample of 3,438 patients. I'm not really sure how that math works out. Let me read that again. Using multiple methods of sequential analysis, the researchers concluded with a moderate level of confidence that the drug reduced the risk of death by 62%. Oh, okay. So 62% of the time you didn't die from that drug with a 0.19 to a 0.79 degree of positivity. I see. Among the hospitalized COVID-19 patients, the risk of death was found to be 2.3% among those treated with the drug, compared to a 7.8% for those who were not, according to the review. Except for risk of death was less than 1%, unless you have comorbidities. The normal person only has like a less than 1.1% chance of dying from COVID-19. Moderate certainty evidence finds that large reductions in COVID-19 deaths are possible using using it early in the clinical course may reduce numbers progressing to severe disease, the authors wrote. Well, if it's medication, I'm glad we've got all the different medications out there for this thing, even though I personally think it was pre-planned. I think it came from the Wuhan lab. I think it was a weapon, and I personally think that it was deployed on the United States intentionally. I believe that. For saying that, I'll probably get canceled, but I only have 3 listeners anyway, so it's not really that big a deal. I'm going to keep talking, though. You can't stop me from doing that. My IP is protected, so I'm good. I don't think the CIA will be able to come beating down my door just because Spotify don't like something I said. That's my opinion, and the First Amendment protects me that I can say that. If somebody don't like it, they're welcome to change the channel, all 3 of you. Looks like, back to the story, a review of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance summarized findings from 27 studies on the effects of that medication for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19 infection, concluding that the medication demonstrates a strong signal of therapeutic efficacy against C19. The researchers wrote, referring to one recent review, which was based on data from both peer-reviewed studies and peer-print manuscripts. They cited in another recent review that concluded that the medication reduced deaths as much as 75%, while noting that neither the National Institutes of Health in the United States or the World Health Organization, the WHO, has recommended the use of the medication outside clinical trials for use of COVID-19. Of course they haven't, because they don't want it to go away. Look at all the power they've gotten because of it. Anthony Fauci, all the power that fool has. They don't want to give up their power. That's beyond ridiculous to assume that. The Food and Drug Administration wrote a note on why you should not use the medication to treat or prevent COVID-19, warns that they received multiple reports from patients who have required medical support and have been hospitalized after self-medicating with the medication intended for horses. Well, that's because they're stupid. People are dumb enough to medicate themselves with a horse medication. What do you expect is going to happen? Excuse me. Work a few hours of hard labor and all of a sudden I got asthma again. It's ridiculous. Still not vaccinated and I'm not going to be, though. I've already had many times I've had the symptoms, but I've never been tested, but I think I had the virus back in October of last year. I believe it was released before the end of last year, or the year before, 2020. That's just my opinion, though. Using any treatment for COVID-19 that's not approved or authorized by the FDA unless part of a clinical trial can cause serious harm. Using any treatment for COVID-19 that's not approved or authorized by the FDA unless part of a clinical trial can cause serious harm. I would say using any medication could cause serious harm. So because it's in a clinical trial, it can't cause harm? So why not just put it in, let's just say I'm in a clinical trial. So this can't hurt me. May not help me, but it's not going to hurt me. So what exactly is the difference? May not cause serious harm. That's the FDA for you. The FDA, in a side note, in the note adding, it has not reviewed the data to support the use of ivermectin in COVID-19 patients. The WHO said in March that the current evidence on the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19 patients is inconclusive, and until more data becomes available, the agency recommends that the drug only be used within clinical trials. Well, I agree with that. Same thing with a stupid vaccine. It's a clinical trial. I didn't sign up for a clinical trial, so guess what? I'm not taking it. It hasn't been approved by the FDA, and we don't know what's going to happen in 20 years. The vaccine for the Hong Kong virus from in the 60s, you know, during Woodstock. More hepatitis C went around than that virus did somehow. Another one that came from China, too. Fancy that. People had severe neurological diseases and infections and issues after that. The authors of efficacy study argued, however, that the drug has an established safety profile through decades of use and could play a critical role in suppressing or even ending the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic. The apparent safety and low cost suggests that the medication is likely to have significant impact on the virus pandemic globally, they wrote in the study abstract. The authors noted in their publication that all studies on which based their conclusions have been peer-reviewed. But it's awful funny that people still disagree that it works, but they've been peer-reviewed. I thought gender confusion was peer-reviewed. So it's golden, isn't it? Huh. Apparently, even though something's peer-reviewed, you can still question it. That's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that if it was peer-reviewed, then it wasn't factual. So I know thousands of people have died from taking the vaccine, simply from taking the vaccine, relatively healthy people. The government actually has a tracking resource for that more people died in the first 6 months after taking this virus than had died in the last 5 years with every single vaccine that we have available. And there's hundreds of vaccines available. It's awful weird that more people can die in 6 months with this vaccine than in 10 years of the previous vaccines, all of them, previous years. You know, they track that stuff. You can look it up. If the numbers aren't correct, then we need to find out what the numbers are. There's no reason why we can put a man in space, that we have an FBI that can search worldwide through Facebook posts and get your bank account information and check receipts to make sure that you didn't go to a rally in Washington, D.C. in January. Because, you know, civil rights and stuff. If they can do all of that, there's no reason why they can't have an accurate, true number of how many people have been harmed from this vaccine. Or any vaccine, for that matter. It should be, the numbers should be irrefutable. But then again, when we have people like Anthony Fauci in charge of our medical, what can you expect is going to happen? He hid the fact that the pandemic was happening. He lied several times. He knew that masks didn't work. He knew that social distancing didn't work. He knew that it was a vapor, a respiratory thing, not in saliva and spit, so masks wouldn't do it a damn bit of good. I believe he knew that it was a weapon. I believe he knew that it was being released from China, and I believe that he was protecting himself. That's my opinion, like I said, but that's what I believe happened. So anyways, that'll be it for tonight. We will, I'll catch you on the flip side. Y'all have a good day, and keep calling them senators and governors. Keep letting them know the Second Amendment, that's on their hot plate right now. Second Amendment, we got to stop this, and we got to stop this critical race junk. Get in the student council meetings and get to talking with these people. Run for student council. Whatever you have to do. Josh Hawley is your senator. Roy Blunt is your other senator at the federal level. There's several at the state level. I'm collecting a Rolodex of phone numbers. I will add to the podcast in the coming weeks. And you can just go through and look and find them and give them a call. You got to stop the CRT. Get it out of schools. It's racist. Anyways, have a good night, guys. God bless. You just heard For God and Country with Rick Lawson. Stay tuned. More to come. Thanks for listening to For God and Country. Stay tuned. More to come.